Hello, sex fans, and welcome back. Today is Monday, August 10th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge, with your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. That would be me.
Why is he such a jerk to everybody?
Because he has a very, very small penis. I've seen it, actually, and it's like you don't even want to make fun of it, you know? It's just medically fascinating.
I kind of want to see it.
Yeah, it's like that one grape in the bunch that never got to be a grape.
That is fascinating. However, that's not our topic. Today, I'm back with Craig Sorensen, and we're plumbing the depths of his immense erotic imagination in this series of podcasts called The Erotic Mind. Craig and I both received such swell feedback on the first part of our interview, so we both want to thank you all for that. But wait, did some of you miss part one? When you snooze, you lose, folks. Not to worry, though, because you can find that podcast by using the search function on my site. Simply type in podcast number 141. And don't forget the pound sign. This week, Craig will also treat us to two delicious pieces of the fruit of his erotic mind. You won't want to miss these, people. And for more of Craig, be sure to visit him on his blog, just-craig.blogspot.com.
Thank you for calling Dial an Asshole. All of our assholes are currently assisting other assholes. To receive a free copy of our quarterly newsletter, The Anal Retentive, please leave your name and number at the beep, and the first available asshole will return your call promptly. Have a shitty day.
Despite what you think, that is not today's program sponsor. But our real sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. You know, even though I get tons of email from folks looking for my advice, I can only respond to a limited number of inquiries at any given time. But that doesn't mean that I don't care about everyone who writes in. I do. That's why I've set up my How-To Video Library. You'll find a link for this great resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the Video On Demand tab. The video library is the go-to place for all of you who have sexual performance questions. You'll be able to watch all kinds of deliciously entertaining, delightfully enriching, and oh-so-informative videos right from the comfort of your own home. How sweet is that? Okay, on with the show. Welcome back, Craig, and thank you again for joining us this week. I'm so glad that you could spare more of your time, and we need to get back immediately to where we left off last week, because I've heard from so many people going like, what? You cut him off mid-story?
Well, so thank you. I'm glad to be back, and I'm certainly ready to jump right back into it.
So let's just recap a little bit. We were talking about writing for female and male audiences, and you said that there wasn't much of a difference, but you inhabit your characters and write as truthfully as you can from their point of view. So last week, you shared with us a story of he tasting her, and this week you would like to share with us the companion of her tasting him. Yes?
That's correct.
Cool beans.
This is from a story called Equanimity Unbound, and it was in the Rachel Kramer Bustle collection called Tasting Him. And very briefly, it's about an uptight guy at the mall who finds himself trying to loosen up by going into one of those types of stores like Spencer Gifts, that kind of thing.
Excellent.
And without further ado. Look, I don't do things like this, I said quietly. She winked slyly. Like what? I mean, you know, like, well, Annalise laughed as she opened her door. Me either, but you're such a fucking cutie. I just can't resist taking a chance. The oven heat of the interior warmed her musk perfume. She stretched her arms over her head and arched her back, exposing her trim stomach with a belly button post. A hint of savory sweat colored the air as I started the car. I casually turned my heart onto a comfortable position while she opened her window. We drove along the backside of the mall, where a small access road led to the remains of an ill-fated strip mall. I parked in the back as if I had planned it. Quite the contrary, we stared at each other. Her eyes probed, probably to see if I was going to do anything. I stared at my hand, then I eased it across the seats and rested it behind her neck. She licked her lips, opened them slightly. I kissed her. It was a soft kiss, for 1 second, maybe two. Her tongue was long and broad, with taste buds that felt like sandpaper. It hit my mouth like a SWAT team on a hostage situation. She pinned me back in the corner where the seat meets the driver's side door. She tasted of wintergreen Tic Tacs and fresh cigarettes. The backside of her with the post in her lip rattled along my lower teeth like a stick along a picket fence. The one in her tongue tickled as it traced the roof of my mouth, then sliced beneath my tongue. I realized that my jacket and pants were open. Her right hand coiled to my rod as she thrust even deeper into my mouth. I'd never gotten or given a kiss like it. It was so hard it hurt. Deliciously. Her hand cradled my tight scrotum. I slid my fingers up her shirt and squeezed one breast. Harder. Huh? Harder. I firmed my grip and she moaned her satisfaction. I gently pulled at the post through her left nipple. Yeah. She pushed me back in the seat and wiped her glossy lower lip with the side of her thumb. Relax. As stunned as I was, there was a part of me that could not relinquish control. No, you relax. I pushed her back into the passenger seat and yanked her t-shirt up to her shoulders. She gave an approving moan as I nibbled each nipple, tugging the post where my hand sneaked into her tight jeans. Suddenly, she seemed docile and obedient as she unbuttoned and unzipped her pants. Her body stiffened as I traced her pussy lips, flicking yet another post. She was soaking wet, and her hips began to rock while I massaged her. Still, she gripped both my shoulders in her hands and tried to push me back into my seat. Her arms drained slack as my fingers entered her. After a bit of exploring her eyes and mouth went wide. I knew that look from the first time I'd found it on Jess. The G-spot. G for glorious. Her hips rocked and her eyes went distant. That self-satisfaction of deep control poured over me. Jess had never responded like this. Annalise was not done yet, though. She stroked my rod with a strange, twisting motion. The feeling was intoxicating. My control of her faded like a sunset. My hand went limp in her pants. She softly pressed me back into my seat and opened my tie and shirt. Her head eclipsed my cock as she descended over the console between the seats. She puddled my pants at my feet, spread my legs, and eased her mouth over the tip. Oh, Jesus. Annalise struggled to navigate around the steering wheel. I pushed the button down at my side and the seat hummed as it slid back as far as it could go. I released the lever at the side of the steering wheel and it swung up. That's better. The post in her tongue and lip teased all around my cock. At some point, my left hand had been squeezed from her jeans and was now laced in her purple hair. She lovingly licked every inch of my shaft with her rough tongue.
Well then.
What's that? Thank you.
Well then. I love it.
Thank you very much.
Cool beans. Listen, so the distinction is often made between erotic art and erotica on the one hand and pornography on the other. Both depict and describe the body, sensuality, sexuality, even lovemaking, but there's a fundamental difference between the two forms of expression. At least most people think so. Do you also think so? And if so, where does the difference lie for you?
Of course, the lines on that, it is hard to define the lines between. But for me, porn usually is very physical. It's uh-huh. very much about the physical sensations. As we talked about earlier, you talked about the physicality of porn shots and sometimes they're very restricted to the physical, to the the actual depiction of the genitalia going at it.
Exactly. Close-ups.
I think close-ups and really focusing on that.
Right.
I think erotica goes, again, it gets it back more into the whole body. It gets more, and but even beyond that, into the mind and into the soul, if you will, and how the whole body responds to another person and how that emotional response can become physical and how those two are combined. So I feel that with erotica, you're taking it much deeper. You're taking much more of the total human experience of it, mm-hmm. rather than just the physical release and the excitement.
Right. I think your work is a classic example of that. I mean, it does not shy away from the overt sexual expression, but it also brings in, you know, the composite. I mean, we know what the people look like. We know what their body is doing, if it's sweating or, you know, if it's exuding an odor. We know, you know, what one of the person's tongue feels like, tastes like. Mm-hmm. That sort of thing. So it's really fleshed out as opposed to, you know, like a pornographic script.
Yeah. Thank you.
Has reading and or writing erotica enriched your life as a sexual being? And if so, why do you think that is?
Sure it has. And I think reading and writing can and do, because your mind opens to other things. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, I've been in some different anthologies. I like being included in these anthologies and taking these anthology calls. Sometimes they are things that I'm not so interested in when I initially look at it. Mm-hmm. It's not something that has appealed to me in the past, but as I explore it, there is something I can latch onto that makes it appealing, and mm-hmm. so it opens my mind. And I think that erotica can do that. You can equate it to like a cookbook. You may not know how a particular a particular dish is going to taste, but you can read about it and you can take elements of it that you understand, mm-hmm. and then parlay that and say, okay, this is something that I would like to try.
Mm-hmm. So I suppose then that you believe that others could benefit from both reading and even attempting to write erotica, yes?
Absolutely. I think that and both are true, and some people may want to explore it more in the artistic sense, but I think that exploring and broadening your horizons is always a good thing.
Yeah.
And sexuality, unfortunately, in America, it's you know, it's two ends of the spectrum. You kind of have the anal retentiveness that a lot of a lot of people have, but then you also have the other end of the spectrum where you have porn, and that's, you know, it's really quite popular and a lot of people are buying it.
Yeah.
I think erotica kind of fits a middle ground in that it's, you know, porn for the people.
Yeah.
You know, it's the exploration of it, and it's making it, you know, it's okay to be a sexual being and to explore and not just do missionary and not just have a very simplistic view of it, but be adventurous.
Yeah. Also, it seems to me that it titillates the little gray cells, as
Absolutely.
Would say. It gets people's mind working. It, you know, starts the juices flowing. I suggest, in my private practice, I suggest, you know, to couples who are having problems with, you know, sexual expression, that they begin their sex play with reading aloud erotica. I think it's a wonderful thing.
I think that's a wonderful idea. I think that's a terrific. And you know, it's one thing. And I know sometimes couples can turn to watching, you know, sexy movies and such. And that's one thing. But I think
it's
the
so
act
passive.
Of reading.
That's
yep,
right.
Exactly. The act of reading, and one of the things I like about writing and reading is that it engages more of the imagination.
Exactly.
You put more of yourself into it, and you take more out of it.
Right.
I think one of the things I love is, if a person interprets something I said or something I wrote differently than what I had intended, I love that because that means that they're engaged in it. That
right.
means they're seeing a different side of it,
right.
and they're bringing themselves into the equation.
Right. And, you know, gets people comfortable with using sex vocabulary. I mean,
yes.
cock and cunt and pussy and, you know, blowjob and what what
I'll tell
you
what. True story, when I started out, now I wrote some erotica when I was quite young. I've been writing erotica. I've had a good, healthy sexual curiosity for a long, long time. I won't say how long back, but it's a long time ago. When I started writing some erotic stories, and I was just handwriting these little erotic stories, and they were pretty bad, really, but I was doing it. I was very careful about the words that I would use.
Uh-huh.
Even the first few stories that I've had published, I don't think any of them have the word cunt in them at all.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't use it.
Yeah.
I would not use it. And in a sense, I did that because I know there are a lot of women who were offended by the word.
Yes.
But one of the things I found out as I got out in erotica land is that most of the erotic authors and most of the erotic readers are very familiar with it and very comfortable with the use of the word.
Right.
So I'm careful in how I use it.
Yeah.
You know.
And you can use it in a derogatory sort of way, and you can use
absolutely.
It, you know, as a really nice word to describe
absolutely.
Something, you know, that is really quite beautiful.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's you know, and it's like the word fuck. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it can be hard or it can be soft and beautiful.
Right.
It's all in context.
Right, exactly that. So as an author, I assume that you write other stuff besides the stuff that might commonly be known as or thought of as erotica. You said that last week as you were introducing yourself. So what makes your erotica different from the other work that you do, besides the obvious?
To be honest, I think it's mostly in the obvious. Again, it's taking it in. It's taking, you know, you're taking the story. You're studying a person's sexual being. Whereas if you're writing something about war, you may not be. You know, you're not studying the same thing. But it's really in the subject matter. It's really the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I still write in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
I still think in the same way as a writer. I think I don't make a distinguishing feature between. I write this. It's the stories that I'm writing.
Yeah. So
it's what fits the story.
So let me just ask you a follow up question then, because this is very curious to me. And so if you were writing, let's say, a story about war or, you know, being in the military or something like that, could you just as easily, you know, take that piece of work and add an erotic dimension to it?
You know, it's all about the characters.
Uh-huh.
If that was what was meant to be, if that was the right thing for the character or for the situation, sure I could.
Mm-hmm.
But
add-on, you know, like...
No, I don't do that.
Okay,
I don't do that.
Cool,
I write an erotic story as an erotic story, and it's a story about sexuality.
Right.
And I come in from, you know, again, from the characters out, but I'm focused on the character's sexuality.
Right. Right. Interesting. Good, good, good. So are there topics that you gravitate toward and topics that you avoid?
Oh, sure. More toward than what I avoid. I can't think of many examples of things that I avoid, but I'm a creative sort.
Uh-huh.
I'm a creative sort, so I play some music. You know, I'm a bit of an amateur musician, so I play with musical themes. I also love to cook, so you'll find cooking or food. And sometimes I actually professionally cooked it at a time in my youth, and so you'll find sometimes a restaurant as a setting. So I will gravitate, and also I've been in business for years. You know, I've been working in business for years, so I've done things with a business theme too.
Right.
So I do a lot of things that are common to me. But then I also will fly out and take on being a trucker, which I've never been. You know,
uh-huh.
but you know, it's a mixed bag.
Right. Yeah.
It's a mixed bag.
Do you do erotica in different genre, like, you know, science fiction or historical or slash or something like that?
I've played with a lot of different different themes in erotica. One of my first published stories. Unfortunately, it's one you'd have to. It's on Ruthie's Club, so you'd have to pay to see it. You know, on Ruthie's Club. But one of the first published stories I did was actually kind of a detective story, which I've never done since. Yeah, it was a kind of a detective story with a vampire twist, and the hero of the story. Well, I won't ruin the story for you if you go read it. But the bottom line is that that's what I went. I did a detective. I've written some things that are historical, not mostly recent history. I haven't delved into older history, although I'm a big fan of ancient history, and I'm, at some point I'm going to play with those themes more.
How about the lives and loves of an IT guy?
You know, I actually have a story at – there's a story at Clean Sheets. There's a story at Clean Sheets called Severance, which is about – it's about the current layoff thing.
Oh, no kidding.
And, as a matter of fact, if you wouldn't mind my bursting into another story
– I would love that.
I actually have a segment from Severance. This is from a story called Severance. And as I said in the beginning there, it's – It's about a couple of programmers basically who've worked together for a number of years and really kind of hated each other all along. And on the same day they were hired on the same day, and as it turned out they were laid off on the same day.
Wow.
And so obviously there's going to be some tension there. Three carefully spaced knocks on the door and I open up. Simone's perfectly applied makeup, soft perfume, and long wavy red hair brushed to perfection are all a strange comfort. You do know how to pick a place, she says. Severance checks aren't what they used to be. She flashes a half smile. You like it, though. Here. You look right at home. I wave her in. You think? She sets a round tube on the desk. I usually drink what's on sale, but I do know what Glenfiddich is. Glenfiddich, 30-year-old, no less. The big 3-0 on the box is a dead giveaway. I figured if I left it to you, you'd get Jim Beam. Jim Beam? On the contrary, I wouldn't have gotten something that nice. She laughs. Remember that first meeting with Baby Einstein? You call him Baby Einstein? She says, yes, since that first meeting. Me too. That didn't stop you from lambasting me on how aimful I was, she said. Well, you are. Her hand swings like a windmill in the thrust of a tornado. The bold pop echoes through the room. The sting that cuts through my welling anger is exquisite. It's a blast of cold winter air after crawling out of a stuffy conference room after a marathon meeting. She shakes her hand. Ow. Been wanting to do that for years. Feel good? Oh, yes. Fuck you, smile number 42, a personal favorite. I lace my fingers in her luxurious locks that smell like a fancy garden and pull her face to mine. She tries to shove me away. She's half my size, but surprisingly strong. I push my mouth so hard into hers, I'm sure we'll need his and hers orthodontists. I rub her head like I'm polishing a bowling ball and spread her fresh lipstick like I'm smoothing wet concrete. My cock starts to ache. She pushes me back in, and our mouths pop like a champagne cork. She teeters, steadies, with a fistful of my retro Led Zeppelin t-shirt, yanking some chest hairs. Feel better? Fuck yeah. And if that's supposed to be no smudge lipstick, I'd ask for my money back. She looks in the mirror and wipes the smeared lipstick with her thumb. Bastard. Bitch, I get to... cheap motel glasses, wipe hers carefully with the bottom of my shirt. Prick, she opens the scotch. Cunt, I hold out the glasses. She pours.
Oh, I love it.
Thank you.
I love it.
That story was really a catharsis for me. We went through layoffs like crazy last year. We had round after round, and it was kind of demoralizing. And toward the end of the year, a friend of mine had been laid off, and I was so frustrated and everything. And then I just poured it all into these two characters, and I made it angry and fun.
right.
And it really was a catharsis.
Yeah. Besides, there's a fine line between sensuality and those other really base emotions, like, you know,
like
humor and anger and those kinds of things. It's an amazing kind of thing when you put them together.
I think that's one of the attractions of erotica and of sexuality, is that it is such a range of expression. It can embody such a range of expression, and sometimes all in the same night,
right.
You know, or all in the same short span of time.
Right, right. Have you ever been on the receiving end of criticism for the work that you do? Has your art been denigrated by other authors because of its content that you're aware of?
Not that I'm aware of. I have been very fortunate on that account. I mean, it's probably because I run in a circle of erotic authors, you know, and then they all, you know, are doing the same thing.
Right.
Again, like I said, I kind of delved into some other things, but I never really reached any heights with it, and I've never really associated with a lot of other authors.
Mm-hmm.
And until I got into this erotica thing and met with these people online. And what was so great, again, it was a kind of a reaffirmation. Like I said, I had that first story accepted, and I knew that I'd kind of found something that I was comfortable with. It was the same thing when I got into that community of erotic authors, that that I was simpatico with these people. So many
right.
of them are similar, have similar mindsets,
mm-hmm.
and it's really fun to just hang out with them.
Mm-hmm. Is it possible for you as an erotic author to eroticize something that you personally don't find sexy?
Absolutely, and I think that's essential too.
No kidding. I think that
again, that's the challenge. If I'm going to try to get you as a reader to be turned on by something that may not be your twist, then it behooves me as an author to turn the tables on myself. And to try to understand or to find a fetish appealing. I've never really found latex all that appealing, and mm-hmm. it's a very big turnoff for people. But I have written some stuff about it, and
mm-hmm.
I've played with those
mm-hmm.
themes,
mm-hmm.
and I try to find, again, getting inside the mind of the character, trying to maybe be kind of like a method actor.
Right.
And sit and say, you know, what is it that turns them on, and what can I draw from inside me that is equivalent to that?
Right. Good. That was very insightful. Thank you for that. Let me ask you, what is it that you look for in the works of other erotic authors or in erotic art in general?
I like subtlety. I like
mm-hmm.
things that are subtle, but that can give you a good smack in the face.
Uh-huh.
I like contrast. I love contrast. And when I read a story, I want a story that gives me a whole person or a whole character that I can relate to. I want to sense that. And it's the same sort of thing in art. I want to see something that's real and that's tangible, not just I grew up in the 70s, and I had a stash of Playboys, and, you know, again, you get back to that ideal, you see a certain kind of woman, you see a certain kind of pose.
Mm-hmm.
I like to see something that's not posed. I
right.
like to see something that's more from life, even when it's exotic.
Yeah.
I want to see it more from life, and I want the characters to live and breathe.
So more organic rather than studied.
Well put. That's pretty much it. More organic.
Cool. What does the future hold for you and your work?
At this point, I'm going to continue working on the anthologies. I really enjoy doing that. Like I said,
mm-hmm.
I like exploring new things.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm increasingly turning my focus towards books. As I'd mentioned before, I've written and I'm now editing a book that's based in West Germany in the early 1980s,
mm-hmm.
when I was stationed there, and it is erotic, and it's an ensemble piece.
Oh, cool.
set in a barracks, and very much drawn from life, but also, you know, a lot of fiction to it,
right.
with a very interesting cast of characters. It's really been a fun thing because I get to get into a whole bunch of characters.
Cool.
So I think I'm going to continue to work on books more, and now my next task really with the books is to start to get them published. And of course, that's a long pull, but that's what I'm setting myself to now.
Right. Good for you.
And, thank you.
I eagerly await that, don't you know? Do you have any advice for the novice writer of erotica?
Absolutely. From my standpoint, I languished for a long time writing, and one of the things I think that held me back was not being myself, not mm-hmm. just expressing what's inside me, mm-hmm. trying too much to please others, trying mm-hmm. too much to fit into somebody else's form. Write from the inside out. Believe in yourself. Believe in the picture inside you. If you got some talent as a writer, if you got some vision, and you write sincerely, I do think you'll find your audience. And so that's the one key piece of advice. It sounds cliche, but be yourself and yeah. write what appeals to you. What is your real love? But challenge yourself too.
Mm-hmm. Don't be afraid to stretch.
Don't be afraid. And I think that's essential. I think that's part of the game, at least for me, the stretching is an important part of the whole process.
Yeah, it's curious to me that after so many of these interviews in this series, that is one of the things that is a universal. Everyone suggests, you know, I mean, it's great to have talent and it's great to study your art form and all that kind of stuff, but honesty and authenticity seems to top everybody's list.
I think it is so true. I know you've talked to some of the other authors and you'd mentioned Donna George's story. And I really like her work.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And it's her. It's yeah. just her. If you yeah. know her, I mean, it is her. Mm-hmm. And
you can tell her stuff. I mean, even you know. If
oh, yeah.
I'm hearing stuff being read aloud. I can say I know who that is. You know. And
absolutely.
I'm not too aware of what's going on in the field all that much. I mean, I read as much as I possibly can, but you know, her stuff is very distinctive, and
yep.
It's so is Jeremy.
Absolutely, I was gonna mention that also. You know, you, Jeremy Edwards, he's got a very distinctive style. As soon as you read three words in, and you know you're working mm-hmm. with one of Jeremy's stories.
Yes.
And you know, Shauna Germain. There's
exactly.
just so many really
exactly.
talented people who are writing some just beautiful stuff out there, and with a distinctive voice. And I think things are really promising for erotica because of these talented people who are offering more and more depth to erotica and are taking it to new places.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, that's for sure.
So, I think so.
Before we conclude, can you give us your website address and walk us around a bit?
Sure. My home on the web is just-craig.blogspot.com. It's just that. It's my blog. It's a little bit of my life. A lot of my erotica. On Mondays, I have a little feature called Mini Monday in honor of my adoration of Minnie Driver, who I think is an awesome actress. I put poetry or super short, you know, 100, 200, 250 word stories on Mondays. I also put out new publications that I'm going to be appearing in, and you know, just anything else that comes to mind. It's just a place to have a little fun and keep people up to date on what I'm doing.
And your site links to places where we can buy your work?
Absolutely. I have a nifty little widget that I just actually put on there last week in that shows the covers of all the anthologies I've been
great.
In. And then the next thing, and I haven't done this yet, but the next thing I'm going to do is I'm going to put links to the online websites where my work appears. Sure. And I'm going to do that in the next week or two. I'm going to start getting that in there.
Thank you, Craig, and thank you so much for being so generous with your precious time. I also want to say thanks again to your wife for being our technical assistant.
Yes, my technical advisor. I wouldn't get anywhere without her.
That's right.
And isn't that a terrible thing? I'm a programming guy. I've been a programming guy for like 20 umpteen years and still need my wife to set up my website stuff. So thanks to
God
her.
God love her. And good.
So, absolutely.
Between now and when we chat again, we will be seeing you in cyberspace.
Thank you very much, Dr. Deck.
Bye, Craig.
Pleasure. Bye.
What a great show, huh? Tune in next week for more Sex Advice with an Edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick.
Hey, bro, you mind putting on some pads? I find it a little weird. I have to ask twice.
Listen, this is my show. I can wear whatever I like. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Dr. Dick's How-To Video Library. Listen up, buckaroos. Thanks to this amazing technology, you'll be able to watch your choice of smut from the comfort of your own home. With just a little prompting from you, they'll come gushing out of your computer like nobody's business. Check it out. You'll find a link to this fabulous sex resource right there on the front page of drdicksexadvice.com. Look for the tab that reads Video On Demand. There is no membership fee. This is a pay-per-minute kind of deal. And remember that your pay-per-view minutes allow you to watch whatever content you want for whatever length of time you choose. Pretty gall darn sweet, huh?
Not to mention she fucked a sailor. Hey, he wasn't a sailor. He was a bartender on a cruise ship. You know that.
You guys are so catty. Listen, one more thing before we conclude. I want to make sure that you know about my new product review site, DrDickSexToyReviews.com. That's right, sex fans. Now it's so easy to see what's hot and what's not in the world of adult products. I and the Dr. Dick Review crew review all kinds of adult-related goodies, sex toys for sure, but also condoms, lubes, fetish gear, as well as educational and enrichment videos. Don't miss a single one. Look for DrDickSexToyReview.com. You'll be so glad you did. And look for all of Dr. Dick's podcasts on iTunes. You'll find me in the podcast section under Health Subcategory Sexuality. Or just search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a comment when you do. All right. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Why, that's even better. Over and out.